Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, A.C. Felder, and today I will be airing a message I gave entitled, The Uniqueness of Christianity.
I wanted to instill in her Christian belief. I really wanted to instill in her because I knew that was my responsibility, and I knew that as a father that I would have to answer to God for that. So every day when we got up, every day we would have Bible study, and I had a captive audience, just me and her, and I'm going to tell you, I was teaching. I was going from the beginning, and I was going through it. And I was doing little diagrams. I was teaching good. And she was just sitting there, and she was watching, and she was just sucking it in. And I knew I was doing something. So about 3 weeks into it, I decided to test her. I said, oh, so Chrislyn, what about so-and-so? I don't know. What about so-and-so and so-and-so? I don't know. I'm getting a little discouraged. So I said, what about, Adam and Eve? Well, she knew that, but everybody knows that. So I said, all right, what about their two sons that the Bible talks about? And then she looked at me and she said, you mean Adam and Eve had children? I said, what do you mean? How do you think we got here if Adam and Eve didn't have any children? So I got a little discouraged. But then it dawned on me I was just trying to give her too much. So I just decided to give her just a couple of things that I wanted to hold in her heart about the faith that I wanted her to cherish and to really, really get. And it were two scriptures. And the first scripture was John 14:6. Where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it was 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is righteous and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Because if I felt if she had these two scriptures, she would be well prepared. Because I know the world that we live in. I know we live in a world where we have all these gods. We have Buddha. We have Muhammad. We have all these types of beliefs, and all of them are supposed to be on the same footing if you listen to our secular society. And I did not want her to buy into that. I did not want her to be like the man in the scripture who refused to call the thing in his right hand a lie, because all these other gods are man-made. And matter of fact, that brings me to the topic of my talk, the uniqueness of Christianity. The uniqueness of Christianity. And I'm telling you this because I have met a lot of people in church, a lot of Christians in church who say that, okay, well, Christianity is the way for me, but Islam may be the way for somebody else, or another way for somebody else. It's like they don't even understand what Jesus said. They don't even understand what he meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So I'm gonna kill that demon today. I'm going to tell you some things about your religion, about Christianity, that separates it from all other beliefs under the face of the sun. The first thing I want to tell you is that all religions are not the same. You know, what happens is that we are told this, and what people say is, they say, okay, well, all of them teach that you shouldn't kill. You know, you shouldn't steal. So they all teach the same thing, right? No. That is the moral law written upon the heart of each and every man. That has nothing to do with the religion. An atheist knows that it's wrong to steal and to kill. When I talk about religion, I'm talking about what do they believe. When they say, what is the nature of man? What is the nature of God? Who is God? What happens to me when I die? What about salvation? When you look at all of these things, then you see that there is a big difference between Christianity and every other religion under the sun. All religions cannot be true because they teach different things. And not only do they teach different things, they teach contradictory things. Yeah. Have you ever thought about it? And for instance, Buddhism teaches reincarnation. You know, you keep coming back until you get it right. Scripture clearly says, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Those both can't be right. Do you know that Islam teaches that Jesus did not die on the cross? He was not resurrected. Yet in Christianity, the entire foundation of our faith rests on that fact. So one of these must be right and one must be wrong. They both can't be right and they both can't be wrong. A man either rises from the dead or a man does not rise from the dead. They are irreconcilable. There's no way they can both be true. So all religions cannot be true. And here's another thing. If any other religion was true, Christianity would be false. Why do I say this? Every other religion in the world can be summed in one word, do. Christianity can be summed in one word, done. So if any other religion in the world is true, then that means that you can be good enough to get into heaven on your own. Doesn't it mean that? If you don't need Jesus, if you don't need the cross, if you can be good enough on your own, what was the point of Jesus? What was the point of him dying on the cancer cross? And this religion, this well, we know it's a relationship, but for the sake of conversation, I'm going to say religion. It is unique. It is unique. Another thing that makes it unique is that only in Christianity do you see the attributes of God fully expressed. What do I mean? One of the things that I sort of struggled with was, how do you balance justice and mercy? How does God balance this justice and mercy? Because mercy says that, you know, you don't get what you deserve. Like punishment, you don't get it because of God's mercy. But his justice says that he must punish sin because sin is an attack on God. You know, all sin is an attack on God. Even if somebody else is involved, it's an attack on God. That is why David said, to you and you only, against you and you only have I sinned, when he did the thing with Uriah and Bathsheba, because it's God's law that says you should not murder. It's God's law that says you should not commit adultery. So anytime we sin, we're sinning against God. And if God does not punish sin, then he's treating sin like he treats everything else. I mean, he's treating good like he's treating evil, and evil like he's treating good. He must punish sin if he is a righteous and a just God. But how do you balance that? And we see that balance in Christianity. We see that balance on the cross. We see that balance in Jesus. Because we see that anyone who wants mercy can get mercy by calling on the name of Jesus. Every sin will be punished eternally. That's another thing about Christianity. Everything will, think about it, either by the person who commits it in hell, or it was done by Jesus on the cross. There are no free-floating sins around. All the books are balanced. You know, I know the popular belief, the popular thinking is that, you know, oh, well, God will save me because, you know, I'm a good person. You know, God will have mercy on me. Imagine with me. Imagine you're in the back of a courtroom, and there's a judge in front, and a guy walks up, and the judge says, you've been convicted of stealing. But I'm a merciful judge. Boom, you can go. Another guy walks up. You've been convicted of rape. But I'm a merciful God. Boom, you can go. Another guy, you've been convicted of murder, but I'm going to let you go. Let me ask you a question. Is that a just judge? That judge is anything but just. God would be anything but just if he just turned a blind eye to sin. Another one of God's attributes that we see so beautifully expressed in Christianity is the perfection of God. Because God is perfect. His standard must be perfect. If you are not perfect, you don't meet his standard. That's the bottom line. Now, how does God deal with that? He deals with it by making you perfect through Christ. We think that we are being judged on the curve. We think that God judges on the curve. We think that he's going to get a bunch of people together, and he's going to say, okay, let me take the top 1,000, and you'll go to heaven. God doesn't judge on the curve. Let me tell you a story. When I was in the Navy, I rode all kinds of ships. I even rode submarines. And the first time I rode a submarine, I was told, take your clothes, take your last, the outfit you want to wear off that day, and you seal it in some plastic. And the reason you do that is because when you get off the ship, everything on the ship is going to start to smell. And if you get off the ship with the clothes you got on, you're going to stink. And I forgot all about that. I completely forgot about it. Now, I got on that submarine, and the captain said, dive, dive, dive. And he didn't say surface for 90 days. Now, what happens in a submarine is that every so often the submarine comes up, and it sticks the snorkel up, and it sucks in air. Then it goes back down. And it recycles the air through charcoal. Now, after a bit of time, it starts to smell. But you don't smell it, because everything smells that way. You don't notice it, because everything is that way. And it's so gradual. And I remember when I got off the sub and went to the barracks, and we walked into the barracks, the guys behind the desk jumped back and said, whoa, y'all stink. Y'all been on the sub or something? And I couldn't understand it, because see, I had just taken a shower. I scrubbed myself good, because I was going to hit the clubs. But you see, I tried to wash myself off with water, and the water wouldn't work on it. And as you see, it's like that's how sin is. We compare ourselves to everyone else, but to God we are all filthy. To God we are all dirty. To God we are all sinful. So it's not like you're going to point at somebody else, because you've got stuff coming back at you. It's funny to me that people believe that there's a hell, but nobody believes they're going there. I think the only person going to be in hell is Hitler. And I bet you Hitler pointing at somebody else. We would be judged against a perfect standard. And that's God's standard. And if you really, really want to understand the differences in religions, you really, really understand, you go to the founders. Go to Buddha. Buddha taught that there's no such thing as sin. Actually, he taught that there was no such thing as reality, that nothing is real, that this isn't real, nothing is real, which I find interesting because I see, you know, I never even seen a Buddhist that didn't look both ways before he crossed the street. So I don't know why the bus ain't real. But he was also an atheist. He didn't even believe in God. That's what I find so ironic. He didn't believe in God, yet he's worshipped as a god. Isn't that interesting? Do you know how he died? He died eating a bad piece of pork. And look, y'all, something's just wrong about you having a god that died from eating a piece of pork. I ain't trying to knock the religion. I'm just saying, if your God died from eating a piece of pork, something is wrong. If your God died from eating a piece of pork, you really need to look at Jesus. What about Muhammad? Ooh, Muhammad was interesting. Do you know that Muhammad made his living by robbing caravans? That's how he made his living. He was a bandit, and he had a bunch of bandits. Do you know that Muhammad, the whole Islam religion spread by war? Because all he left behind was a battle plan, was a plan for war. Do you know how in the Bible we see, John, we see where the woman caught in adultery. They bring the woman to Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, you know, they won't judge you. I'm not going to judge you. Do you know the same thing happened with Muhammad, and Muhammad had her head cut off? Do you know that Muhammad married a girl 6 years old? But he didn't consummate the marriage until she was 9. Did you know this? You see why it bothers me when people try to say that these three men are equal? When they try to put Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad in the same category? Do you see why it sort of makes me mad? Do you see why it sort of upsets me? Well, what about Jesus? Oh, that's a different story. Born of a virgin. Performed miracles. Do you know that Muhammad refused to perform even one miracle? He refused. I guess I refuse too if I couldn't. Pretty convenient, isn't it? I'm not going to refuse. Not today, check me tomorrow. I'm all out of miracles today. Jesus healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. Prophecies written hundreds of years foretold of Jesus' coming. Think about it. Think about it. We see the first prophecy of Jesus in Genesis when it talks about the seed of a woman. We see God even narrowed it down more when he pulled aside Abraham and he said that through your seed the world is going to be blessed. We see God even narrow it down even more when he said that he's going to be from the tribe of Judah. We see God even narrowed it down more when he said it's going to be from the line of David. You see God even narrowed it down more when he said it's going to be from Bethlehem. Now, what other man is going to fulfill those requirements? Do you know Daniel? When Daniel talks about the 77s and he talks about the anointed one being cut off, and Dr. Hendricks from Dallas Theological Seminary actually has a chart where you can map that out, those years out, and it comes to the exact year of the death of Jesus, written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. Here's another thing. Jesus even claimed to be God. None of those other guys didn't do, none of those other guys even dared to do that. They were crazy, but they weren't that crazy. Jesus said, John 8:53, before Abraham was born, I am. May not sound like much to you. But the Jews knew exactly what he was saying because they picked up stones to stone him. Because you got to go back to Exodus 3:14 if you want to know what Jesus was saying. When God called Moses, God called Moses to lead the children out of Israel, Moses said, well, who should I say is sending me? And God said, tell them I am that I am is sending you. What is God saying? I am the one. I am here. I am the powerful one. I have always been. I'm self-existent. I am. Jesus said before Abraham was born, I am. That was not bad grammar. That was excellent theology. Jesus said that he was going to raise up his body in 3 days. Whoa. Who can raise a body but God? So we start to see Jesus in a whole nother light. But you know what I think about the most when I think about Jesus? And I think about all these other men. Yeah. I don't know why I think about this. I think about the time when Pilate brought Jesus before the crowd. And he was trying to let Jesus go. He said, we have Barabbas over here. You know, Barabbas, you know, we can let him go. Now, Barabbas was guilty. Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was called, you know, he was called notorious. So he's been in, you know, he's probably been in our jail all his life. So he brought them to the crowd, and the crowd said, well, let Barabbas go. And Pilate was even stunned. Pilate said, but hold up. What about this Jesus who you call Christ? And the crowd said, crucify him. Crucify him. You know, that word crowd, that was mentioned a lot in the New Testament. A lot of times it was mentioned when people huddled around Jesus and he blessed them. So I'm thinking to myself that Jesus is watching this and he's looking out over this crowd and he's seeing people. He's seeing someone that he healed. He's seeing people that took advantage of the fishes and the loaves. He's seeing people that he cast demons out. He's seeing all these people that who were around him and who were getting blessings from him. And now they are saying, crucify him, crucify him. And how does he respond? They put him up on the cross. Yeah. Let me explain to you a little about crucifixion. You don't die from bleeding in crucifixion. You die from suffocation. Because in order to breathe, you have to pull yourself up. Can you imagine how excruciating the pain must be to pull yourself up just to breathe? And when you can't pull yourself up anymore, you die. That is why they said that the Roman guards would come and break the legs in order to quicken the death so they couldn't pull themselves up. Maybe some of you can do that because you don't know. Maybe because some of you haven't had some of the experiences that some of us other people have had. Because you see, when he mentioned that I was an atheist, there were some things that y'all didn't know. There's some other things. I mean, some things I ain't gonna tell y'all. Something going to the grave. Ain't a statute of limitation for everything. But I will tell you this. Because see, what I've done, I did satisfy my intellectual curiosity for God. I did that. God met me there, like Pastor said. But he did more for me than that. He did more for me. Because like I said, remember I told you before, I wanted to hit the clubs and hit the women. And that's what I did. And that's how I lived my life for years. I became a whoremonger, and I was an alcoholic. When I became saved, I was a Christian who was a whoremonger and an alcoholic. I knew that my alcoholism was going to kill me. I was drinking a fifth of vodka a day. A day. On the weekends, I drank enough. I mean, when I woke up, the minute I woke up, I drank again until I passed out. You know how people say, you know, he's going to end up in the gutter? I literally ended up in the gutter. I mean, I had people actually come and get me out of the gutter, literally out of the gutter. I was hospitalized for alcoholism. So I had some issues. And I remember when I became saved, I was like, oh, I'm saved now. So I decided I was going to stop drinking, and I realized I couldn't. I realized I couldn't because I was depending on myself. And I remember I was in my living room, and I got down on my knees, and I cried out to Jesus. I said, you got to take this thing from me, because if you don't, it's going to kill me. Because I tried to stop y'all. I'm going to tell y'all, that thing had me. I just thought all I could do was stop. I could just stop. That thing had me. It was nothing I could do. And one day, after I prayed that, I went to take a drink. And as soon as it touched my lips, it tasted like gasoline. And from that day, I've not had a desire to drink. From that day, the smell of alcohol even bothers me. And the other issue I was dealing with was whoremongering. God had to work with me on that one too. I ain't gonna lie, that was a little bit harder. That took a little bit longer, y'all. But God did do it. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, when I got married to my wife, I had been celibate for 10 years. And the reason I was changed was because of Jesus. The reason I was changed was because of him. The reason that my life changed around, it turned around, and I was changed like they were singing, that all that happened because of Jesus. So you know it was not Buddha. Buddha don't know nothing about me, don't care nothing about me. He's dead, he's gonna stay dead. Muhammad don't know nothing about me, don't care nothing about me, ain't never do nothing for me, ain't never gonna do nothing for me, ain't never gonna do nothing for you. But Jesus, all power, all authority is in his hand to do anything that he wants to do. And if you got a situation, if you're struggling with alcohol, if you're struggling with being a whoremonger, if you're struggling with it, whatever it is, we got a God who is capable. If we pray to the right God, the only one God, only he and he alone is capable. That is why we cannot believe in false gods. That's why we cannot trust after false gods, because false gods can't deliver you. False gods can't heal you.
That will end this message. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.
You can find out more about Giving an Answer, as well as listen to other episodes by visiting us online at www.givinganswer.org.